You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Galatians and chapter 4. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and our God and Father, deal with our heads, our hearts, our homes, our health. God, for your glory and honor, do so. And our Father will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. As we looked and reminded ourselves that everyone has to have a father, you only have one of them. And that is, there's no way on earth to do it without a father. You have to have a father. Father is the one who originates, is the origin, who brings something into being, to produce, the Hebrew word, to bring it into being. God does. God brings us. God is the Father we shared. Our human fathers are representative of God the Father. Our father, human fathers all disappear. They're all faulty. God the Father is not. So when we think of God, God is an awesome God in his essence and deity, in his essence, nature, and being. God is awesome. And God is the only God, he says so. There is no other besides me, he said. And he's a wonderful Savior. He's the only Savior. There is no other. He said, I'm the only Savior and the only God. So there is no other. Now God, in order to exercise your being God and being the Savior, how are we supposed to enter in to the wonderfulness of yourself? Well, God made that wonderfully clear. He said, I want you to know I, the Creator and the Savior, am the Father. Why is that critical? Because Father is an intimate word. It's a very personal word, Father is. Now, God, how do you want us to know you? As Father. How are we to enjoy you? As Father, as a Father. And we shared that little bit together to remind ourselves. And when children are born in the natural, we're all little and we grow and we have to grow up. We grow and then we need to grow up. Difference. And as we grow up, we learn about the Father. We didn't know that in the beginning, but we do once we start living, being alive, breathing, we discover Father, Mother, etc. And in the process of growing and developing, the point is to develop and grow up. So that what? We can enjoy the Father. Now, when you're 3 years old, when you're 2 years old, using two, that's a nice little age. And in the process, how much does a two-year-old enjoy the Father's work? War, business, the difficulties of being on planet Earth, with all the things going on, the Father has to deal with them. In the government, in the school, and everything, he has to deal with them. How much does a two-year-old know? Nothing. What is the purpose then? To grow. So what? We can share the Father. The Father's involved, my Father, your Father, God is involved in everything. So unless I grow, unless I develop, I'm unable to enter in to the enjoyment of my Father. So if I don't grow up, I can't enjoy God the Father. Do you understand? I just can't enjoy him. How am I supposed to enjoy him? God, no question. He's the only Savior, no question. But he's the Father. And that's the whole point of God communicating, as we shared this morning. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, and over here, we shared this morning in God's wonderful grace, the whole movement is about God. making it possible to know him as Father. Therefore, God the Son went to the cross and died on the cross. The Spirit of God comes along and honors the Son and his person and work. For what reason? In order that we might get to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto God except to the Father except by me. So God is God. So how are we going to get to God as Father? We're aliens outside. So God, you're going to go. Galatians in chapter 4 reminds us, as we mentioned this morning, I'll pick it up if I may. Chapter 4, Galatians, picking up in verse 4. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, purpose, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And remember, the word adoption is the word son, to be placed as a son. Like we shared this morning, you're outside, not inside. And so everything on the inside, you're missing because you are outside. Now, you aren't in the family. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, what does God do? He takes you on the outside and brings you on the inside. He brings you on the inside as a son. He adopts you, just like an adoption. We don't belong, but all of a sudden, by adoption, we do belong. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, we become, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, we might receive the adoption of sons. So we have to be a son. Why do we have to be a son? Because the only way you can get to the Father is by the Son. And you have to belong to the family. You have to be a son. You have to be a child of God. Otherwise, you can't get in. You just don't get in. It doesn't mean you're not alive and et cetera. You just don't have the relationship. Hang on. Now, so therefore, we become sons in the Son, so that, as we shared this morning, our Lord went, remember we did it in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, the Lord Jesus at age 12, perfect God, said, I must be about my Father's business. And then he went through all of the exercise, even to the cross, resurrection. At Luke 24, 49, what did he say? I want you to know I'm going up to the Father after his resurrection. I want you to wait in Jerusalem so that you can have the promise of the Father. I want you, my Father, that's what it's all about. Why did you come? To be able to bring you to God in his fullness, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, to be able to enjoy God, the Creator, the Savior, as a Father. That's why he came. Now, so having said that, we then shared together in Mark, etc., that the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the term he used in Mark, what term did he use? He said, Father, in Matthew and that. When it came to Mark, what term did he use to talk to God? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. I don't want to have to go to this cross. I don't want to drink of that cup. I don't want to bear the sins of the world, but I will, if it's your will, not my will, but thy will be done, Abba, Father. That's what he said. And now, here you are in Galatians 4 and in verse 6. And because you are sons, you have to be saved, sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart. God the Holy Spirit is going to make it so that you can enjoy the sonship. And what's he going to say? All continuous, present tense, etc. Abba, Father. Who said that? My Lord did. How did my Lord, in his perfect humanity, talk to my God, Abba Father. What did he make possible for me, for you, for the believing heart? Abba Father. Present tense, never stops, never stops. The relationship never stops. We all have fathers, and as long as the father lived, no matter how things were, no matter how they were, he's always your what? Is he your father Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Easy, hard, much, little, bad, good, terrible, a good, what difference does it make? He's still your father, no matter how you cut the cookie. He's your father. That's the point. God, when aren't you my father? Never. Now I need to know that so that I exercise that in a most wonderful way, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to do so. Therefore, in the light of the relationship, I want to be able to have that wonderful fellowship that we're supposed to have to the Father. Everyone can come and go, just like we shared that in the past, you know. If you were in some high, big dignitary kind of thing, and you were a child of the person, do you know if it was the king, make-believe, the king and his little son came along, daughter came along, and the little daughter waddled in. And do you know what? The king didn't shoot him. The little kid could wander right up, and no one else could do that. No one else could do that. But the little daughter could, the little son could, because that's their father. That's their father. It gives you extraordinary privileges as to being alienated and separated and being my father. That gives me super-duper privilege. Therefore, consider, go with me, please, over to John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, picking up, please, in the light of this unique relationship, God the Father's will is to what? To pursue what is very the best. Now there's good, better, best. God pursues the best. There is nothing under, nothing less. Whatever God does in your life for you to become all that he wants is the best. There is nothing higher, more noble, more wonderful in anywhere in all of forever. That's what he wants. Now, so therefore, in the light of that, God's wonderful Father's will, the Father's will, God, that's what you want the best. What is the best? And again, quickly, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So God, there's no way to come than get turned away, because Christ died for you. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Abba Father, we just read it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will, which he has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, remember the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, Christ died for everybody, and everybody belongs to God. And that's why you have in John 12 in that, God summons them, when Christ died on the cross, he summoned all human beings are accountable to God. All human beings are accountable. They're under God gave them to the Son. Christ died for them all. The believing heart ends up in heaven, the unbelieving heart in hell. But they belong to God, and God summons them. Because you're going to give an account to God, saved or unsaved, you're giving an account to God. No matter how you cut the cookie, you're going to do it. God created you. God died for you, and you're accountable to God to honor him. Do you understand? Therefore, I will lose nothing. Verse 39. All that he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. What is the best thing, God? To believe in my Son. What is the best thing? Believe my Son. Believe my Son. Slide over, chapter 6. Our Lord to the, remember the Pharisees, etc. And in verse 28, 6 and 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work, singular, of God. Well, what is the work of God? We want to do whatever. This, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Father, what's the best thing you're going to do? I want you to believe my Son. That's what I want you to do. I want you to believe. But what do we believe? Believe. That's the will of God. The best thing that could ever happen to you is to believe. Be a believer who's believing. Best thing in the world. The most wonderful thing. Chapter 4. So that we can worship God, and you know it. Picking up, please, verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, the woman at the well, believe me, for the hour cometh when you shall neither worship in this mountain, Samaria, etc., nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For, underline in your mind, for the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and truth. That's when you get saved, AM. FM, you get spiritually saved. You're born again, spiritual. So I have a relationship to God. But how? By way of the Son. I believed in the Son. I have a relationship. I want to be able to worship. I want to be able to, God, my Father's looking for what? For me to honor him, to reverence him, to enjoy him as my Father. Not God, he is. Savior, he is. But I need to enjoy him in a most intimate way, and that involves a relationship as children, as sons, as the Son, God the Son, and God the Father. Now, having said that, so God, you're going to do your wonderful way and word and will, and you're going to do it. And the Father has a wonderful will, believe. The Father has a wonderful love for us, an awesome love for us. Over in John chapter 14, where you're still here. And it's, you know all these things now. Chapter 14. And picking up, if I may, the Father's wonderful, wonderful relationship to us. The Father wants to love us and to pursue what is best for us, and to become all that God has in mind. God has it. That's what the love is. Love is, I want you to be everything. I gave you birth. I created you, saved you. I have a wonderful plan for your life. I didn't have children just for the fun of it. I had children purposely to honor myself. I wanted the children. No one's born. No abortions, no. God had you born because he wants you to know him. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here. That's the way it is. Now, how much people are going to? I don't know. But, God, that's what you want. John chapter 14, picking up if I can. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments, said the Lord Jesus, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now sliding verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, I will love and keep, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come unto him and make our abode with him. Because you can't have the Spirit of God, the Son of God, without the Father. And you can't have the Son without the Spirit of God. That's God. That's God. That's where he is. So he uses all the different language, but you're dealing with what? That's why Paul was, you know, if you go back to Galatians 1 and 24, remember Paul is going to say, I got saved, Christ revealed his Son in me, and then you come to the end, verse 24, and he said, and then what did they say? God was in him of a truth. God, Father, Son, Holy God, in all of his wonderment. So now, having said that, God loves us. And God loves us with an everlasting love, an awesome love, to say the least. And we're to enjoy that love without any question. And in the process, 1 John. Let John hit the target again. In John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, the Father's will to believe. God chooses what is best. He pursues what is best. He pursues what? His love. God doesn't quit. God doesn't quit. What's he want? He wants you to be conformed to the image of his Son. So 1 John 3, all kinds of ways to do it. Behold, verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1, 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What kind of love is that? That we should be called the sons of God. What kind of thing is that? That you could be a child of God. And you house God, my Father. He's my Father, God, you know. Wow. You can be called children, sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But beloved, verse 2, now, not next week, not 5 minutes from now, are we the sons, children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're sons. We're sons. Wonderful sons. Now. And I share that, and we share that with each other. I have to understand I'm saved now. I'm not only saved, he's my God, your God, my God. He's my Father. And that's intimate and personal, and it gives you huge resource, personal resource, very personal. The world's up there, it's 4.8 or whatever, it's a billion, 7.8 or whatever, people out there in the world. And how many of them have that, can able to say, God help them to know he's your Father, he's my Father, God, my Father, I house him, I'm the temple, you're the temple, you're the temple of the living God, you house him. But not this building, you do. That's why we assemble, that's why we come together. Why do we come? Not go away in big groups of us or something. No, you want to be together. It's a saint. What are you doing? You're saying the most momentous thing to everyone. They think church is like, because they got all these churches, things. But when we're here looking to God, God is making the saints are assembled together, seated in session. Be like in Congress. Like in Congress, we get elected to Congress, and we only go and sit in our seat with our name on it. We only go every now and then, All the rules are made, all the laws are made, everything's done. Did you ever read the stuff? No, I didn't even go to the meeting. I had lunch with so-and-so, and I had so-and-so with something else, and they gave me $7 million. Which is better, the $7 million or sitting in session? Sitting in session, because that's what you were elected for, to sit there. And we're seated in session. That's what we're doing. It's this awesome thing. I don't think the average believer understands that. I know they don't. It's an awesome, you don't mess around with it. Don't mess around with it. And God help us now. So in the process, the Father's wonderful love for us in Christ died for us and rose again. And what can separate us from the love of God? Well, nothing, 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 nothing. Now God, in your wonderful grace, my Father's will is that he might choose the very best for me, my Father's love, that he might pursue the very best for me. He isn't going to quit. He's got his objective, his target. And God, what do we know? In your wonderful, wonderful wisdom, you do what is best for us. And so you're going to go in your wisdom and your grace. You're going to go and do wonderful things for us. And therefore, God, you know, Romans chapter 8. And the Father's wisdom, love. It's awesome, intimate, and we want to enjoy it. And our Lord didn't even want to have to be separated on the cross to bear our sin. Remember, he said, not my will, but yours be done. And when he was there, he said, my God, why is it? We did all these things. Why did you, God, you forsake me? I didn't want to be without God for 3 hours. Without the Father for 3 hours. For 3 minutes. Who wants to be without God? Once I get a handle on it, and heaven is going to make this super clear. We just haven't got there yet. Now, Romans chapter 8, picking up, please, if I can. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8 and 26. God's wonderful, wonderful wisdom. And watch. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So that's getting back to God's wonderful plan for our life is known to God. And only God knows it, and only God can work it out. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Father, Spirit, because God the Father, do you know what the Spirit, God the Spirit is going to wish for, want? Yes. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. That's what he wants. God wants that. God wants his wonderful will, and he has the wisdom and power to make it happen in a most wonderful way. And he does so. And while you're reading the verse 27, slide to verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Now, the Spirit of God wants the will of God for our life. And why can the will of God be taken? Why can you get the will of God by the Spirit of God? Because the Son of God is making intercession, his nail-pierced hands. That's why you have the will of God. That's why you have God's plan for your life. The Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus, sanctions it. The Spirit of God pursues it. And God the Father wants it. That's what he wants. That's what he's looking for. In a most wonderful, wonderful way. So God, here we are looking. And we shared our Father this morning in that. Our Father knoweth the need before we ever ask, no matter how we do it. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, picking up, please, in chapter 1. So God, here we are looking, and in God's wonderful wisdom, and in God's wonderful caring, comfort, God the Father, He's in wisdom. God's going to do everything perfectly, all and all wise. He never makes a mistake, no matter how you cut the cookie. He just doesn't do it. So now, for 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and in verse 3. Blessed, you know all these. Blessed be the God and even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, where did all those mercies come from that we studied? From the Father. Who's merciful? God is. God the Father is. The Father is merciful. Who? My Father is merciful. My Father is gracious. Got it. Verse 3. He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, encouragement, etc. And that word encouragement is the same word used of the Spirit of God in John 14 in that. He's the comforter. He comes along. He's the ally. Comes to aid you. He's going to come right alongside to make it all work. That's what he's going to do. He's the comforter. And where's it? What's he doing? Comforting us. Because God the Father is the source of that comfort. The Spirit of God is exercising the Father's will. And God the Father is encouraging, comforting, and the Spirit of God makes it work. He brings the comfort to us in a most wonderful way. And that's personal. And God does that for us awesomely. Therefore, verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation? Reason that we may be able to comfort, there's your word, them which are in any trouble, precious squeezing, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So what, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to put you through whatever. I'm going to help you grow. Going to help you learn. Hang on, hold this finger right here. Slide over, if I can, to Hebrews and chapter 12. And you will note, as you're thinking of God's wonderful care and comfort to encourage you, how do we get encouraged? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And except, let me keep reading, verse 8, but if you be without any chastening thereof, all are partakers, then you're bastards, illegitimate, and not sons at all. You're not even saved. If it doesn't matter, then you're not saved. God loves you, you're going to get chastened. That's right. And God, you're going to encourage. I am. I'm going to encourage you. And I got encouraged, you got encouraged, especially when they used to encourage you with the Board of Education on your bottom. You got encouraged. That's what you did. And you got encouraged. And it was an encouragement to us. No question. No question about it. All the different things. That's how we learned. You get stuck. You don't say that. Don't do that. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you get clipped. And you learn. That's how you learn. You grow up. And here we are. Wow. Now, God, that's because you love us. If I don't correct you, you want mine. If you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, however, and you don't ever care and nothing ever bothers you, I would question whether you're saved. That's all. Something's wrong somewhere. in your thinking. Now, hang on. Therefore, sliding along down to verse 10, for they are fathers. Furthermore, verse 9, we have had fathers in our flesh, which corrected us and gave them all reverence, and we did. There's no question. I didn't go and go. My mother would hit me. And then he said, you wait till your father gets home, and he'll hit you. And that's what you got. And that's what you got. And besides that, when I went to school, I can think of junior high and all those things. Wow. And the principal had it. He had a big board of education. Coyne was his name. I still remember his name. And when you go in, and you'd bend down, and boom, he'd hit you on the bottom. And he said, I'm going to call your mother. And mother hit you, and then father hit you. And you got hit, and you discovered what? I don't think I'll do that again. I don't think I'll do that again. That's how you learned. There was nothing wrong with it. That's how you grow up. And it can get through everything because you understood that you have to go down the corridor in a way that works. And if you can deviate and live any old way you please and say what you want and do what you want, people do all kinds of things, then something's terribly wrong. And you aren't going to come out very good as an adult. And the adult world, by the way, isn't very good out there. So, in Hebrews, let me just finish that because it's very helpful. Verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. And it wasn't really a pleasure. They were trying to help us. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And I should say a little thing while I think of it. When my mother hit me, I used to bend down and let her, she'd pull my hair, you know, we used to have hair, and you pull your hair down. It was funny because she could never hurt me. She tried her best, but she didn't have any strength, you know. She'd do whatever, and I thought it was funny, but I didn't do it with my dad. But I thought my mother was, I let my mother do it. Oh, hit me, Mom. Mom, punish me. See, you know. Yeah, that's the way it is. Now, so in the process, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So you got to get exercised. Back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He's the God of all comfort, and we need to go and look to God, who's an encouragement. And he encourages us. Not just everything is nice. Sometimes things aren't nice. And you got to go through whatever. That's how you learn. God, you're going to be an encouragement so that when we do it, then we learn. And we can help others because we've been through it. Been through all those things. And we grew up with all those things. And we're able to understand them. If you never went through them, how could you ever know? You know, we have to be all the terrible things. No, everything is terrible and it's become legal in these days. So now, here we are in Corinthians, and God is going to go and comfort us in every way, in all kinds of ways. So now, God, in your wonderful wisdom, you're the Father of wisdom, you're the Father of comfort, and you do what you do in a most wonderful way, encourage us, and that's what you're going to do. And God's going to do that because he loves us. He wants his will for our life, and he's very wise in doing it. So my Father does what he does. And we don't challenge him, we don't question him. There's nothing to question. There's nothing to challenge. There's no way. You don't challenge the Father. You reverence the Father. God is looking for such to worship him, to reverence him. His wonderful plan for a person's life, and he wants your reverence and respect to outwork it. That's what he wants. Not hard. That's what he wants. I don't remember. Then you won't know it. I'm thinking about it. Well, go ahead. You can think about it. It isn't going to go anywhere, but you can think about it. Now, in the light of that, in the light of God's wonderful comfort coming together as an ally and all of these things. Over in Ephesians, if you would, God the Father is able to go and do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And in the process of Ephesians, you are reminded all kinds of ways to do this. Ephesians chapter 3, if I can. In Ephesians 3 and verse 14, in the great prayer, pick it up, 3 and 14. For this cause I bow my knees to whom? Unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, who are you looking to? God the Father. Now, what do you want God the Father to do? And then you read through, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, etc., etc. He's the Father. And sliding down, do the love part. Verse 17, for Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So it's just beyond. The Father's love isn't explainable, isn't understandable. His ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. So my Father's love, he's God. My Father's God. He's my Savior. He's my Father. And verse 19, to know the love of God, Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And now we're children of God, and now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, exceeding abundantly above all, like the great pyramid, you can make that, all that we ask or think, according to the power of the dynamite, etc., that worketh in us. And God, you were able to do. That's right. So God, you're wise. You want the best. You love us. You correct us. You comfort us. You're the Father. The Father, that's what fathers do. Now, you could say God, but you wouldn't know that he does that. He does, but if I use the word Savior, that's wonderful. But that doesn't tell me what we just did. The Father, wisdom, his word, his comfort, his grace, all of those words, personal, intimate. The world's out there, they know nothing of this. Only the believing heart does in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, God, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all, and you're going to show us the Father. You're going to save us for the Father, the Lord Jesus. Saves us for the Lord Jesus, shows us the Father. The Lord Jesus saves us for the Father. The Lord Jesus seats us with the Father. He does all of that so that we have a wonderful, wonderful position with God. You know Ephesians, you're right here. Turn there first, because you're right, it's only a page away maybe. Ephesians 2, and just pick it up in verse 6, and hath raised us up together. I'll read verse 5 so you see it. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That's right. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, our fellowship in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So we're seated. He saves us. He shows us the Father. He saves us for the Father. He has us seated with the Father. Revelation now, chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And picking up, if I may, going directly before you begin, the church has been raptured after this. But up to this point, at least it's still on earth. And what do you say to the church in Laodicea? Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father on his throne. I sit in my Father's throne, and you sit in my throne, and we both sit on the Father's throne, because you're a son. As a son, I sit where my Father does. As sons, in the Son, we sit where he does. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. That's what you do. It's a privilege. Moses didn't have that. David doesn't have that. You have that. In the church age of grace. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so God, you're going to go and deal with us in a most wonderful way. Over, if I can, to Ephesians. Back to Ephesians. I was going to tell you to hold your finger there, but I forgot. Ephesians chapter 1. And you will notice, please, in Ephesians in chapter 1. I'm going to start, if I can, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual, all the heavenly resources that exist, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ, as God, what is there outside? Everything is at his God. He's God. He's the creator. He's the owner. He's the Father. And everything is in his hands. And the Father does what? He provides. How does he provide? As he provided for his Son, and as you are resting in his Son, you're getting what? All of the wonderful resources that are needed to develop, to grow up in your relationship, to enter into the fellowship, to grow up. God has provided them, not in you or me, but in Christ in you. God has provided everything in your relationship to Christ. Zero is missing. Nothing's missing at all. You are provided for because the Son. That's why it's so important. Without Christ, we can't have anything. But with him, we got everything. Think of Romans 8 and all of that. Well, with him, he'll give us everything. We have everything. Philippians 4. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's what God did. Wow. Now, over, if I can, to 1 John again. And in 1 John, picking up, God gives us a wonderful, wonderful fellowship. So therefore, 1 John and chapter 1, picking up, please, directly in I'll read verse 2 for a little of the context. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, that's the life of our Lord, and show unto you that eternal life, Lord Jesus Christ is your life, which was with the Father, the Son of God, and was manifest, made clear, public, plain unto us. That, why did you want to have such a clear, simple understanding of the relationship? Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, so that you, as we, John, Peter, James, as they did, so we do, we enter in with them, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We have a unique relationship. Right now, here we are in God's wonderful presence, And Peter, James, and John are there. And they have an awesome relationship to God in their heavenly position. And we're here. And we have fellowship just like they do, only we're here in this body. They're there waiting for a new body. But we're here. And their fellowship is our fellowship, and our fellowship is theirs. But we're stuck down here, if you can use that word. Therefore, God, how are we going to proceed? As you would know, practically, wonderfully, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You can't walk in darkness when you're walking in the light. Therefore, if we're going to look to God and walk with God, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's the fellowship. Verse 3, how are we going to enjoy that fellowship? Because we're walking in the light. And what are we going to do in the lousy old nature that we got? We're going to have to live with that old nature. We aren't there. John, Peter, and them are all set. We're still here in it. But that old nature isn't going to get us. Nope. Verse 7 again. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we aren't looking for anything about us. We're understanding God's wonderful our relationship to as sons, as children, to the Father. And we enjoy that relationship. And as we exercise that relationship, God, you're going to go. And it isn't a relationship to us, my mother, my father, my grandfather, Adam, and everyone in Adam, and Adam all die. No, it isn't that. It isn't anything about that. No, it's a new relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we read in Galatians in the beginning, Abba, Father. That's why you say it. Father, my Father. How so? In the Son. Wow. Wonderfully, wonderfully so. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. Second Corinthians in chapter 6. And you will note, picking up if I can, verse 2, 6, 2. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in a day of salvation. I have succored thee, came to the aid to help thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We need to go and exercise these wonderful truths right now, right now. And then as you slide along in the light of the movement of the chapter, pick up in verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. You are the believing God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Isn't that wonderful? Read that? Okay. I'll read it again at the end. I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wonderful relationship. That's God, a wonderful Savior. Okay, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among you, them, and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I want you to be mine. I don't want you to belong to anyone else. I don't want you to serve anyone else. I want you to honor God. He's your God. God is our God and Savior. I want that. We're the temple. Temple, whose temple we are, looking for God, housing God. No idols, no foreigners, nothing. It's all pure. Wonderfully, wonderfully pure and simple. A relationship to God that's legit. That's real. Now, sliding if I can. Having said that, now God takes it a step further. Verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'm your God, I'll walk with you and you walk with me. And if you'll do that and understand that, separate, be mine, don't try to be everybody and honor everything on planet Earth. Don't get into idols, idolatry, humans. Don't single out, I belong to God, and I do work at home, school, I do everything, but I belong to God. Therefore, I will be a father to you, for real. I will be a father for you. I will be a father in person. I will be a father in position. I will be a father to you in a most wonderful practice. I am going to practice being your father. God said, I'm God. I'll walk with you. And if you do this right, you will understand I am your father, God. And when you honor me, I'm going to go and really be your father. You want me to be a father? I had a father, like you all do, one way or the other, and we honored the father. My father was a father to me as best he could be in his humanness, and I thank God for it. My Father in heaven wants to be my father and yours. And therefore, but he has no flaws. He has nothing, nothing to impair, to make it anything less than what he wants. Power, wisdom, will, comfort. He has all the things. He's God. I will be a real, exclusively. I want you to be exclusively mine, said God. I want you to outwork my will, my word, and my love. That's what I want you to do. And as you represent me, that's all I want. I want you to show that I'm your father. That's what I want. You can't go up and down the street and say so because no one will believe you. No one will understand. They won't. But you will. I want you to enjoy having God, your wonderful person, as our Father. That's what I want. And that'll be for real. If you are for real, remember, otherwise, verse 18 doesn't come into play unless you're going to separate yourself to him. Then it becomes into play. Well, God, then how many believers are going to enjoy him as Father? Probably not many. Not any, but not many. Why? Because they want to be in the world and caught up in everything to try to fit in, to be somebody, to fit in. That's what we want to do. And we want to fit into the system. And I think as the system goes, you don't really want to fit in at all. You're going to be glad you're out of it, looking for a soon coming. So I hope you got a little bit. I got to quit. Father, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, we want what's happening in heaven, thy will, to come down to earth. I want earth to be experiencing heaven's, your will. And that's going to take the kingdom. And then it's going to have to go past that to a new heavens and a new earth. And it will be heaven on earth at that point, to say the least. We'll pray. Our Father and God, thank you. Thank you for a little bit as we just went a little bit. God, help us understand. God, it's an awesome thing, and we have to learn it, and we have to go through the disciplines and experience and discover it. And God, but if we don't pursue it, it isn't going to happen. God, we're never going to enjoy, not here on earth, we're not going to enjoy your awesomeness. So God, thank you for loving us, caring, and helping us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the thickness and the pain, headache, heartache, and all the other things, God, going on everywhere, all over the world, things happening, God, awesomely happening, and God, prophetically happening, and God, here we are. We're just be little showpieces until you take us, that the world might know, and that you will hold the world accountable, because when every man is judged, they're going to know, did you not dishonor me? Did you not believe? You chose, God, we chose not to believe when we should have believed. We should have believed. So deal with us. Thank you again and again. Safety, encouragement, in Christ's name, amen. Thank you.